The location information coming from your smartphone apps is being sold to advertisers and retailers a lot. Location tracking is big business. There are other parties collecting your data as you go about your day with your phone. And we're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Location-based ad dollars will grow to a $32 billion industry in 2021. In about a year, it will represent almost half of overall mobile ad revenue. That's according to projections published last year by analytics firm BIA Kelsey. This year, the New York Times did a sweeping investigation into the location tracking services of 20 different widely used apps. Natasha Singer was one of four journalists who dug deep into the project. She is technology reporter for the New York Times covering consumer privacy, and she co-authored the article, Your Apps Know Where You Were Last Night, and they're not keeping it a secret. Natasha, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So for every smartphone, there's this possibility of tracking where that smartphone is. So what is the extent, what did you find out about our location information and how it's extracted and then filed somewhere?
Well, we started with this idea that many people download apps on their phone and agree to enable location services, like you have a weather app, you want local weather, you have a sports app, you want local sports, you have a fitness app, you want it to track where you're running, right? Like, it's makes complete sense that you want to turn on location services, but we wanted to answer the question, like, where does that location data go, and, like, what is the industry that's using that data? And it turns out that when you enable location services on your phone, there's software in there often that can send your location to a dozen or two dozen or three dozen companies. And there's this whole ecosystem of trading in your location data because your location says so much about you. And we found that, you know, we got this commercial data set. We got a data set that is, you know, what a company has. It just covered several days in New York City, and it captured 1.2 million different phones. But, like, one person's location was collected 14,000 times in a day.
Did you say 14,000 times in a day?
Right, 14,000 times. So, like, I thought, I turn on my weather app, and I'm getting local weather, and, like, when I'm checking the weather, it knows where I am. But some apps may know where you are all the time and may be collecting your location as much as, like, once a second or once a minute. And so it creates a very detailed portrait of who you are, right? Because if somebody knew every place you went, they'd know which supermarket you went to, whether you went to a church or a mosque or a synagogue, whether you go to the gym or you're a couch potato, whether you go to Alcoholics Anonymous or Planned Parenthood or the casino. There is a huge amount of intimate information about you in your whereabouts. And so it turns out that there is this huge industry in collecting, sharing, analyzing, and selling your location data. The bulk of it is for marketing. So if I know where you've been, I know what to show you in terms of ads. And, like, one of the big location tracking companies called Ground Truth did a presentation last year that we saw. It was online. And the executive from this company was talking about how, like, if I know what somebody does online, because there's also online tracking, like, I can see they're looking up diets, they're looking up healthy recipes, I might think I should show them ads for, like, healthy food. But if you know their location, you know the truth, right? This company's called Ground Truth. And so I can see that even though online they're looking up healthy recipes, they're, like, in Burger King and McDonald's all the time. And so it's not useful for me to show them an ad for something healthy. I should be showing them a coupon for, like, Subway or something.
So and location is a really key piece of information because it is so revealing.
Right. It tells the truth about you. Whatever you're doing online about who you hope to be and what your New Year's resolutions are, where you go actually says who you are. And so, as I said, a lot of companies use it for marketing, and it's not just about, like, where you are now. So, for example, if you're looking for a car, your phone is going to say not just, oh, this person has been to different car lots, right, has been to different auto dealerships. It's going to say, oh, this person is looking for a Ford, or this person is looking for a Mercedes. And so you're being categorized very specifically, often based on brand, but that's also economic, right? I know that you can afford a really fancy car. I'm going to show you ads for different things than I'm going to show somebody who cannot. And the question is whether that can be predatory or prejudicial, because we saw, for example, that some companies are selling ads for personal injury lawyers to people sitting in emergency rooms and hospitals. Mm. And so they know when your vulnerable moments are.
Talking with Natasha Singer. She's a technology reporter for the New York Times, and she's been writing about location tracking apps and this growing industry of selling your location data, maybe without you even realizing it. Your questions and insights are welcome at 800-642-1234. Are you concerned about location data tracking? Have you ever noticed personalized advertising that seems to be connected to your exact location? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Natasha, it makes somewhat of sense to have the weather and the sports apps being very inclined to know where we are and what's going on. I mean, the weather around us, very important. But are there unexpected apps gathering this information as well?
Well, when you download an app, if it wants your location, it will ask you, right? And often we're rushing through, getting the apps on our phone and we're not paying attention and we're just clicking yes, 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 yes. But the apps, you know, will ask you, and you can go into your phone and you can look at settings and you can see which apps have location turned on and you can turn them off. But all kinds of apps want your location, coupon apps and dating apps, you know, and children's apps sometimes ask, for permission to track the kids, which if you have a young child and you're on a children's app, parents, you know, you should just pay attention to what permissions are enabled. And so we couldn't come up with a definitive list of which apps track location if you allow it or not, because it's so valuable that many, many apps want to track your location. And the thing I wanted to add from before is that it's not just advertising companies and brands, that some of this data is now being sold to financial institutions like hedge funds, because they can try to predict, you know, the income, the earnings of a company and how it's doing based on cell phones. So, for example, you could try to look at a factory and are there more phones there? Is the factory hiring more people? Or is a certain chain of stores or restaurants, do they have fewer phones? And maybe if you're a financial institution and there are wildly fewer phones at a certain location, you know, a department store, then you're going to say, okay, that company's income revenue is going to go down. And so this information is being sold for financial purposes, not just to show you marketing relevant to where you are.
What have companies that collect and use this data, what have they said to you during your reporting?
You know, they said two things. One is, don't worry about it, ladies. This is anonymous. And what they mean by that is, when your location information is collected from your phone, it doesn't have your name attached or your cell phone number. And so they were like, well, it's anonymous. But the thing is that it does have a unique ID code, like a string of letters and numbers that's unique to your phone. And so all this information is being collected under a unique ID code over time, and it's a really rich profile. So even though they're saying it's anonymous, first of all, it's pseudonymous, not anonymous. And second of all, it's still going to show where you live and where you work. And so we kind of said, you know, you're saying it's anonymous. It's not really anonymous. And one of the things we decided to do was we got this data set that showed more than 1 million phones in the New York City area. And we thought, okay, they're saying it's anonymous. What if we can actually find real people in this data set?
And we're going to pause right there. Natasha Singer stays with us. Your insights are welcome on The Morning Show at 800-642-1234. Have you taken steps to adjust privacy settings on the apps you use? Do you think about location tracking and your data points? Let's talk about it. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation in a moment on the Ideas Network. The smartphone is now the primary digital tool for most consumers under age 50. And it isn't just our browsing data that's fed to digital ad networks for profit. It's also where we set very precisely set foot in our day. We're talking about a New York Times investigation of how apps use location tracking and how this data is sold in a growing marketplace with billions of dollars at stake. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with one of the authors of the investigation. New York Times technology reporter Natasha Singer stays with us. Your questions for her at 800-642-1234. Are you doing anything to preserve your privacy? Have you changed settings on your apps? Should there be more of a legal framework to protect consumers? Call in 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Natasha, as we were going to break there, you were talking about how your investigation built profiles of some people in New York. How rich were these profiles? How much could you figure out?
Well, so we as privacy reporters didn't want to violate anybody's privacy, so we asked for volunteers. And so we found a teacher, a math teacher at a middle school at upstate New York named Lisa, and she let us try to find her in the data set, and indeed we did. And we saw that the phone had tracked her, for example, to her school 800 times. And it was so specific because sometimes the phone can figure out where you are, like within a 10-foot square box, that it tracked her to the side of the building where her classroom was. And we could see that it tracked her to Weight Watchers, it tracked her to her dermatologist, it tracked her hiking in this remote area with her dog Lulu, and we saw also in this data set that she didn't spend the night at her house a few times. And we went back to her and we said, like, we don't ask you an embarrassing question, but where were you? And she was like, oh yeah, that's my ex-boyfriend's house. I spent the night a few times at his house. And she was shocked because she's a person who thinks that she's privacy-minded. Even she was surprised at how specific it was. And we found another person who volunteered who was a nurse. And we found that her phone tracked her into the surgery at her hospital, right into the operating room. And she was worried about not just her privacy, but the privacy of the patients. And so we also found that phones tracked people to Rikers Island, which is a big prison in New York, to the major airports, to a military installation, to West Point, the military academy. And we also were able to track the mayor of New York City because, you know, the mayor is mostly based at a place in the north of New York City called Gracie Mansion, but he's known for going to a specific YMCA where he likes to work out. And so we could see that there were two people that constantly traveled with him, and then at night they went home to the suburb. And so we couldn't figure out, you know, are those bodyguards or those assistants or whatever, but it made us realize that there's a national security issue here. If we, you know, without a lot of training, can get a data set and figure out where the mayor is. And we also saw that there was a homicide in the north of New York, and we saw somebody at the homicide scene and go to the hospital and come back to the homicide scene and then go to the police station several days in a row. And so you could assume that that's a police detective. And so people could be vulnerable based on knowing the locations of their phones.
Let's go to Brian now, joining us from Rochester. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Yeah, I would say my question is because it kind of piqued my curiosity in the realm of politics. And, you know, could some of this data be used in the near future, or maybe it's being used right now with national campaign committees and you know, can the data even be used to more quickly predict somebody's victory in a national election?
Interesting, Brian. Will we eventually be able to predict results of elections based on phone user data?
That's a really good question. I think that it could be used to figure out, are more people going to the polls? And are more people going to the polls in certain districts that are leaning Republican or Democrat? But I think that also people are profiled based on their politics, because who you vote for isn't public, but if you're a registered Democrat or Republican, it is. So I think it's theoretically possible, and it raises this question about, is this data so sensitive that maybe it should be regulated in some respect?
Are there any government regulations for location data collection as we know it?
So in the United States, we don't have a big federal consumer privacy law that covers data like this. We have very narrow laws about different industries. So, you know, there's HIPAA, the patient privacy law that protects our medical records, and there's the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and it protects our credit records, but we don't have a consumer law. And when Congress comes back into session in January, because of all the Facebook scandals this year, one of the things they're going to be doing is drafting a privacy bill, and location may be one of the issues they tackle, because there's certain kind of data, like location, that's hypersensitive. And it may be that that's going to get more tightly regulated than other kinds of data.
Natasha, what would be an effective bill? What would be effective legislation to help limit technology overreach? And what would that look like?
Well, I think the first issue is transparency. Because when we looked at all these apps that take your location, when you were downloading it, it didn't tell you really what it was going to do with the data. It said, if you enable location tracking, we will give you personalized weather reports, or we will give you personalized shopping recommendations. And it didn't say, and by the way, we're going to track where you are every minute and sell it to 50 companies, or we're going to sell it for marketing purposes and you'll get personalized ads, and by the way, we're going to sell it to hedge funds. So I think the first thing is that people can't make decisions about whether they want to enable a service or not, or certain kinds of tracking or not, if they're actually not told specifically what's going to happen to their data. And there is a law now in Europe that came in earlier in the year called the General Data Protection Regulation, and it requires companies to ask for your permission to use your data for a specific purpose. And then if they want to use it for something else, they have to come back and ask you again. And it gives the consumers more insight into where their data is going. And the European law also gives consumers the right to see the data companies have about them. And so in Europe, you could go to one of these location companies and say, you know, here's my cell phone ID number. I want a whole record of where I've been. And in fact, somebody did that with T-Mobile, the cell phone provider in Europe. And they made this incredible map because it followed them exactly over years. And you could, because, you know, they got a graphics expert to graph this person's travels, you could see them going, you know, to another country on the train. And you could see when they were on vacation, and you could see when they were at their house. And, like, when you actually see the data about you, you might think, actually, I don't want that shared with 100 companies. So I think the first two things are just tell us what's actually happening to the data. And second of all, give consumers the right to see their data and to understand what others can see about them. And then there might be areas where we don't think it's okay for the data to be collected. Like maybe for national security reasons, your location should not be collected at a nuclear power plant or at West Point Military Academy. Or maybe the mayor or the president of the United States and their entourage should not be tracked. And that would be a technical issue, like how do we block out certain areas from being tracked, or do companies have to delete that data every day or something? But I think that there are consumer issues, but there are also much larger issues.
In the few minutes we have left with you, what can smartphone users do if they don't want this data collected? What could they do to change their settings, their life, in terms of location tracking?
So the first thing is, if you have apps that are like 3 or 5 years old, you know, you took a trip to California and you turned on some specific travel app and you're not using it, delete those apps from your phone, because you don't need apps you're not using collecting your location. The second thing is, whether you have an Android phone or an Apple iOS phone, you can go into settings and you can look for each app which permissions you have enabled. And if there's certain apps that don't need your location, you can turn them off. And if you have an iPhone, you can have, you know, Android phones, basically your choice is turn on location all the time or turn it off. In an iPhone, you can turn on, only allow this app to track my location when I'm using it. So if you're using, like, an app like Uber or Lyft that's going to pick you up and take you somewhere, on the iPhone, you can choose to have it collect your location only when you're actually using Uber. And so that limits, it means that you're not being tracked 24 hours a day. Now, that's not perfect, because your cell phone carrier, your Sprint or your T-Mobile or your Verizon It's not an app, but it always knows where you are, and it's always collecting that information, and you can't turn that off. So I'm not saying, all right, you get super control, but you can reduce the amount of tracking.
What about the data that's already been collected about us? Can we clear that in some way?
We cannot in the United States. In Europe, with their new tough data protection law, there's a thing called the right to be forgotten, and you can request that your records be deleted. But in the United States, you know, if you've shopped at a certain store, they have the right to keep your sales records. And if you've used a certain app, they have the right to keep your location records, and so do all the companies they've sold it to. And again, that's what I was saying about transparency. Like, some companies have long privacy policies, and if you read them, it says, we delete your location after 2 years. But others say, we keep it as long as we need it. Well, what does that mean, right? You have my location going back 20 years?
Natasha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Natasha Singer is a technology reporter for the New York Times, where she covers consumer privacy. She co-authored the article, Your Apps Know Where You Were Last Night, and They're Not Keeping It a Secret. Coming up next, we find out how to best explore Milwaukee as a family. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.